y'all. Welcome back to That's Debatable, powered by Lucky Energy Drink. I am your host, Stanza Yvette. And today we just want to shout out Lucky Energy Drink. I'm going to tell you, Lucky Energy is the drink for you. It's packed with five powerful ingredients, not filled with those ingredients with names you can't pronounce. And it's packed with 200 milligrams of caffeine, enough to keep you going. Now, joining me today, as you all know him as the culture referee, Ray Daniels.
Oh, good clap.
Y'all don't never clap for Ray. It's all right, I got you.
Thank you.
I'm going to get you to clap.
Somebody.
For me. They don't never want to clap for you. And on his redemption tour, we brought back marketing and music executive Brian Miller. He's back.
Let's have a Brian Miller. Roll Tide.
And today's guest debater is hip hop journalist Shaheem Reed.
Legendary hip hop journalist.
Thank you so much for being here, Shaheem. If you have anything going on and you want to let people know about.
Definitely thank y'all for having me. I love the studio. Ray is my guy for a long time, and being down in Atlanta, I'm happy that he has like a haven for the culture. I think it's dope.
Thank you.
As far as what I'm working on, y'all could definitely. I have a couple of shows coming out in Rio where we focused on voting, voter rights. My man Ramon Dukes co-produced it with me, along with I gotta give a big shout out to Marvin Bing, Pastor Mike. We've been going out, AAPI too. We've been going out to city to city, trying to just register people to vote. Is very important. You know, the election day. This is what Saturday. We got the election on Tuesday. So. This is urgent time, so that's really the focus. Y'all can catch me writing in Variety. I'm doing a bunch of things coming up, but yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you for being here.
So
we're going to lay down a couple of rules for That's Debatable. Now, the first rule, it's only two, so it's easy to follow.
Okay.
First rule is just we can't talk over each other. It gives hell to post-production. They're trying to scramble to get what everybody is saying, so we just don't want to talk over each other.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows that. And, you know, Brian Miller is back, so y'all might be talking a lot over some of his points. So... we don't talk over each other. The second rule being is to respect my gavel. If you hear it, you see me grab it, you might want to just kind of brace yourself because I'm about to, you know, whack that thing. But if you hear it, just respect the gavel. You hear the gavel, you see the gavel. You got to respect it.
Whack
and I might be saying, so, you know, maybe calling BS on something you said, or if you contradict yourself, or if I need to switch the topic, I might, you know, swing the gavel. But
you the boss, we get it.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Now, let's debate. First, we're going to open up with my opening statements. These are topics that we just want to run through really quickly, but I felt like they were just worth mentioning. This week, it was, you know, alleged that the IRS may be hiring thousands of people to audit Instagram, social media. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter's. To see if it coincides with what you're reporting every year to the IRS, how do we feel about this? If this is a practice that they're about to start using, how do we feel about this?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, a lot of people are on the ground in front of me. So, you know, the IRS, they're going to spend a lot of more taxpayers' money on a lot of nothing, because a lot of these people, when they posting these luxuries and all of this, they really don't have it like that. We all know that. And, a lot of these people also get paid cash to do certain things. So it's going to be tough. I think the IRS need to put their resources, if it is true, I think they need to put their resources into something else.
Absolutely. I think we just weaponize. You can't do nothing.
It's just certain moves by the government just feel like they coming after niggas. I'm sorry. it's just certain things you hear was like, they doing what? Oh, they had another 10% tax break. Okay, cool. That's good. Good. That's good. Good for them. Oh, hold on. They got people gonna be monitoring niggas Instagram. Hold on. What? Seeing if you really making what you making. It just felt like it's an attack on hip hop. It's funny to me though, because if you fronting out here, it, but you know what it is? It's a lot of stuff being sold to these kids. And I guess us as adults, we kind of look like, I don't watch it from, but if it could be dangerous if it's used as like, and let me tell you how I bought this Hellcat for $65,000 with no credit and no, like, you know, it could be that. So I think that is a good thing. I ain't gonna lie, I'm happy for it. I'm tired of the fronting. I'm tired of the exhaust from social media feeling like I have to keep up with people that I know is just a 30-second clip and they just show me. So that's what I'll say.
Right. What do you say? Oh, I'm just gonna put my helicopters back up. That's it. I mean, I can't have my helicopters and my Bugatti out anymore. But it's all good.
I don't make sure they know he said that. He said it. I didn't say nothing. I'm not flexing. I don't want the IRS looking into me at all. Like,
we're talking about taxpayer dollars, and it's a waste of time.
I think it's an unnecessary use and way of censorship.
You think it's unnecessary?
It's a waste of time.
It's censorship.
To do what, though? To what end?
Why do people not have, like, flexing aside and us not liking it, why can't people do that?
Listen,
you know, it's their Instagram. It's my Instagram. If I want to pose in a jet that's not moving, then that's mine. That shouldn't ring the IRS for them to be like, oh, if she can afford this, then
and if you can
her
do that,
making this amount of money.
Then that means that woman from the window that will sit outside and say, you know, Brian, he got evicted yesterday. He ain't heard that from me. She need a job, too. That woman that's like, you ain't heard it from me. She need a job. Now you're going to actually, you know how hard, like, think about this for
it's
a second. Hold on, no, think about this for a second. You get paid to be a professional hater. Like, that's incredible. Like, you literally get paid to say, let me look into this nigga, see if this shit, and I can look at your accounts, your tax returns.
Yeah, but we got to pay for it, though.
Who?
We got to pay. We, as taxpayers, got to pay for the manpower.
Taxpayers.
Yeah. Listen, to watch us, I'm going to pay you to watch
it. Hating is exhausting. I want to see it get
They hire thousands of people to watch people Instagram. There's more things, more conducive things we can do with
that. Man, how many friends do y'all have that don't do shit all day but sit on their phone?
And the IRS.
And what I'm telling you is that those people will have jobs now. The economy is working for us.
We're not going to be the ones to get the job.
What's the,
I
want to know what the end game is when they look into the guy with the jet and they find out that, oh, he's actually is funding. Like, what's the end game
exactly
for that?
They just, I don't know. I think it's a waste of time. Moving on.
Hey, listen, anything to keep you niggas in check?
Oh, my God.
Now, listen, bro, like, I'm telling you, every time it happens, I'm going to point it out. I think there's a clear attack on hip hop and black music right now. This is
agree with that. To
me, this is how it starts. Cause you know, if somebody like, think about it, the police walk up to any one of y'all and try to fuck with y'all, first thing you're gonna say is, what? Why are you fucking with me? What I do? Oh, we've been watching your Instagram, nigga. You've been lying, nigga. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I think it's
trying to censor it. I mean, honestly. Because nobody's gonna feel, if this is true, no one's gonna feel comfortable posting anything,
good.
Doing anything. Good. Time. Waste of time. Moving on.
Good. I grew up poor, man. I'm gonna tell you, I grew up poor. I wish we had uniform schools. I probably would be a better student. I'll probably be in college, a different career, if I had uniforms in my school. Because I wasn't going to school bummy. I'm gonna go get some motherfucking money. I'm gonna go get some money. I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
All right.
You saying people don't wanna look crazy out here.
For sure. That's true.
All right, moving on. Louisiana Fest is this week. There's going to be a Hot Boy reunion.
Oh yeah.
What are some other groups that y'all would like to see have a reunion?
I'm looking forward to that. You know, it's actually happening today. As soon as I leave here, I'm getting on that plane to go to New Orleans and check it out. Throughout my career, I had the pleasure of doing cover stories on the Hot Boys and one of my favorite groups, man. I just think that as far as the collective, this is something that they've been trying to do, you know, it seemed like for a couple of decades now, trying to bring them all together. And, you know, luckily it's happening now. I think the Hot Boys are just so influential, what they brought to the game, stylistically, lyrically, fashion. You know, the whole family unit, Cash Money being one of the great imprint labels that has turned into, you know, the top selling. Like, Cash Money has sold more records than Bad Boy and Rockefeller and, you know, a lot of these other labels. So I talked to BG the other day. I talked to Turk the other day. They're excited. They're starting to do the rehearsals and Turk said there's gonna be a Hot Boys album, you know, coming up. He let the cat out the bag,
with
so
all
to
of
speak.
Them?
With all of them. With all of them. Everybody is with it. That, according to Turk, that's what he said. You know, they don't know where they're gonna go sonically yet, but you know, I'm pretty sure Manny Fresh is gonna get on. If he don't do the whole album,
man,
pretty
Manny
sure
gotta
Fresh
do
gotta do. You know,
Manny gotta do something.
So it's great to see those fellas coming back together, and you know, able to celebrate Wayne too. I know he came out and said he was disappointed the fact that he wasn't gonna headline the Super Bowl, which I still, in my crazy mind, I'm still thinking of a perfect world where Kendrick brings him out.
Yeah.
And you know, Kendrick loves hip hop. Kendrick loves the culture. Him and Wayne have done records together. I don't even think that the conflict that Kendrick had with Drake will weigh on him, you know, not bringing Wayne out. So hopefully they can make it happen. But
will it weigh on Wayne though?
I don't know, man. I don't think it will.
Isn't that disrespect? I get the moment, but that's disrespect.
If Wayne come out, to me it's not, but I think in the eyes of the light-skinned kid from Toronto, it is.
I don't know.
I think Drake. I think if Wayne brought out, if Kendrick brought out Wayne, I think that is like the cherry on top. It's over.
Yeah.
I think the man that signed me is actually on stage with the
absolutely.
Man that
destroyed me. Absolutely, that's disrespectful.
I think if it was the reverse, it would be disrespect. I think if Wayne had problems with Kendrick and Kendrick brought out Drake, I think that would be disrespectful. But I think since Wayne is just such the boss, and not even from the boss perspective, Wayne is sort of like this pillar of hip hop that doesn't involve himself.
You think
in
he's above
beef. I think he's above all of that. I think he's above all that. I think that.
But here's my thing though. It's a token, because it's like, this is your city. You just said he's a pillar of hip hop.
Yeah.
I'm not bringing you out. I'm bringing Kendrick Lamar from the West Coast to do your city. This is the Super Bowl main stage, right?
Right.
Like grand prize for an artist to do. Now, my guy just he just killed Drake. Like, we can all, you know what I mean? That's like, you ever seen the movie Troy? That's like him whooping Hector and then be like, hey, come on in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
No.
I think it's a moment for hip hop, and I think it's a moment for Louisiana. I think if it was to be done, and you know, this is all speculation. This is all, you know, us thinking from like hip hop fan perspective. I think it's such a big moment for New Orleans and for Louisiana for them to have their most signature artists come out and perform with the Super Bowl. I don't see it being disrespect. I think we got to look past. And that beef is, I mean, how long are we going to harbor that beef, man? Like,
it's going to be around. We're going to be talking about it for a little while.
We didn't talk about, though. And this is, I don't want to get like long drawn out on this, but you got to remember, Wayne, we're in a critical time. Wayne did endorse Trump. And you got to understand that absolutely. Endorsed him like publicly.
Wayne
so
said a lot of problematic
everybody,
things.
I don't think nobody take what Wayne say serious.
Yeah, but when you're
not like,
out
I'm
there,
not, I'm not being funny. I just think everybody's kind of like, Wayne is Wayne.
But you're at a rally.
He doesn't experience racism.
He was not no Trump.
No, he went to the Trump rally and took pictures with Trump.
This campaign? Last one.
Yeah. And everybody who supported him from a celebrity standpoint this time is like quiet. Like
he's to Skip Bayless to bring.
He got a whole new crop. He's like, hey, look, we got Chef G in the click this time.
Trump is going so crazy with his ridiculous statements and, you know, the blatant racism at his rally at Madison Square Garden. And
Trump
gave
Wayne a party.
Thank you, Jordan, for saving
the
game.
Same.
Nigga, pardon me. I'm going to stand with his ass, too. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Nigga, pardon me.
Subject. We're going to switch
it. I want to ask a question because you three are very intelligent, smart people. I want to ask you guys. Why do you... It's two questions I'm going to ask. I'm sorry. I just got to ask this. Why do you think... The first part is, why do you think people in our community support Trump? With all everything that's being said, like... What does that say about who they are? You know what I'm trying to say? That's a loaded question.
The first being, they are on their knees to that man for $1,200.
Okay.
That's what, in a world where everybody got money, first of all, we've already, and Obama, and I'm so glad that he addressed this, because the people in the comments be saying I'm wrong about political things that I say, but I be correct. I'm not going to get on a platform and spew misinformation. But like Obama said, the checks were made by, those were given by Congress. Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat, signed off on that. It was Democrat proposed for those checks. One, Trump held it up because we could have got those checks a lot sooner, but he wanted to put his name and face on it. And that was, and no, everybody was like, no, you cannot do that, because it's a level of propaganda to get people to think. It's like almost Kim Jong-un, all the money,
works.
Yeah, all the money in that in South Korea or it has his face on it.
So my question to you is, what kind of person?
That's the first thing, is that they think that man gave him some money.
Okay.
Period.
Well, I think that to build on the point, as far as like a lot of the people from our, not the just the black community, but the hip hop community, especially, they getting paid. You know, Trump is he pulling out a lot of money. You saw 50 Cent said that they offered him $3 million. You know what I'm saying?
Just want many men.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But I gotta
he saw what happened to Chris Evans though.
I gotta speak on I don't know specifically everybody who got paid and who did not, but during these past few months where I've been on my political grind with people like Beanie Sigel and Freeway, we came across Icewear Vezo from Detroit. And I was like, cause you know, Icewear to me, he always seemed like a really stand up guy. You know, just listening from his music, I think he's very, he's just so articulate and outspoken during his interviews. It makes a lot of sense. So I was kind of puzzled when I saw him in particular standing with Donald Trump. And I was just curious because, you know, I never met him before. But during this journey where we had a chance to sit down, he was saying that when we saw him with Trump, it wasn't about the money. He didn't get paid. Trump reached out to him and was like, "Yo, I'm gonna be in Detroit. I'm going to the trenches, and you know, I want to speak to you about what's going on in the community." And he said that this is before Kamala actually got into the race to be president. This is when Biden was still in the running, and he said that they reached out to Biden, and Biden refused to meet with him and some of the other artists from Detroit. So, you know, that's the type of perspective, is that, you know, Trump is, you know, he really going out and reaching out to people. And even if it's not about the check, you know, Trump is doing, and I don't think it's Trump. I think it's people
around him.
You know, I don't think it's Trump. I do think it's kind of a ploy, you know, but hey, if you get a chance to speak to somebody who's a former president and who's going to potentially be the next president, this is what Icewear was telling us. He's like, I don't have a problem sitting down and meeting with him and saying my grievances and whatnot. He wasn't looking at it like, oh, I want to be buddy-buddy with Trump. I want to get the information. You know, I want to see, you know, I really want to see what his vision is for, exactly, not just for the country, but for my community, you know, in particular.
I think we have a section we're going to talk about.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry. I didn't.
So, next statement. Dirk was recently indicted in Miami for murder for hire charges. It's alleged that he set a bounty on the head of Quando Rondo, and it ended in a close family member of Quando Rondo being murdered. And so he is now in jail awaiting trial. What are your thoughts on all of these pickups that have been happening?
I think rap is in a place where it has to really figure out what it wants to be. What I'm saying is, like, a street rapper, you gotta look at him almost like you look at a mafia boss, right? And let me tell you what I mean by that. If you're the boss of a certain area of the Bronx and somebody try you, that person is now the boss, right? Like if you get tried and played, so you have to defend yourself at all costs, because if you lose that, if you take an L, you might lose your business. So look at it. So this is hard. Like, two dudes hanging out one night, have a fight, right? That happens, right? One of them, one of the friends has a gun, pulls out a gun, shoots somebody. That somebody, while this man is laying on the ground, it's people in dirt live saying, Vaughn is dead. Vaughn is dead. Like it's almost like it's almost like Boys in the Hood, where you knew when they shot Ricky, you knew.
Doughboy
was gonna get some get back. So you kill his friend, right? And now the world is looking at him like, what you gonna do? Such and such still moving around, walking around, and you out here getting money, acting like a family man. So it's this pressure you have to almost retaliate to keep your name up. But then you forget, as much as that shit sound like an entertaining movie, this is real life. So I feel like a lot of these rap guys are going to have to start looking at themselves as like mafia bosses, where it's almost like, you can't come around me. Because if I'm making millions of dollars and Shaheem is my cousin, and I know Shaheem is not working the 9-to-5 and he out, and I'm giving him money, and then I go through some shit, oh, you got it, and I call Shaheem, or I send a message to him like, yo, they fuck with me, cuz it's time to get busy. Nigga, I am now guilty of a crime, sure. A plot. You see what I'm saying?
For
so
sure.
I just don't know if what's happening in rap with the content of music is gonna be sustainable, because rap is the only genre. Like, I don't think when Taylor Swift said, we are never ever getting back together, people was like, we gonna watch you, bitch. You better not get back with him. Right. But in rap music, when you say, nigga, I don't play, nigga, take my fool, he gonna die, nigga, you gotta stand on that at some point in time if someone takes your fool or allow your career to suffer. At the case of it,
it's a lack of leadership in hip hop music. Period. And I mean, again, at detriment of
leadership on who from? I'm sorry.
From those behind the artists, because again, there's the art, and then there's real life. And hip hop has always been the genre that blurred the lines, because it's predicated on, is real this life. Authentic? Is it all?
It's like wrestling.
Absolutely. So is it real? It's like the interview. Yep. Oh boy, so I think it's
kayfabe. I'm about to say kayfabe. Right. I'm glad you put kayfabe. Right. Exactly.
And he got slapped in his face. So what I'm saying is, ultimately, at the end of the day, the hardest rappers in the world, DMX, they had the Kevins and the Leors. Don't matter if you heeded everything, you know, if you took heed to everything they said, you still had that voice saying, hey, yo, yo, you can't do that. Like, I get it. That's what you did, but you can't do that because now you got a bigger business to consider. So it's like, distance yourself from that. Let me teach you how to still be cool with your people, but you got a job to do.
Now, can I stop you?
Gone.
Can I stop you now? Sure. So I got to stop and shout you. I thought about that. Okay. Now, what are you doing? You're literally telling me, talk about the poison, but don't be a part of it no more. So then there has to be a like, I got to be able to say to you, bro, do we have to talk street shit right now? Like, does it, because you're not in it anymore. That's another hard part, where it's like, I give you first album. I give you first cycle, first 18 months. Mm-hmm. I give you that. Nigga, you didn't know no better. You was in the streets. You rapped about what you seen. But once you start making money and getting exposed, you're no longer in the streets, my bro.
I agree.
You can't, so now you got to, now that's what I mean by, I don't know if it's sustainable, because what do you talk about?
I don't think it is sustainable.
I think two takes that I have on that. One is when I saw, and you know, all of this violence and going to jail, it's heartbreaking, right? Because I was the last person to interview King Von. He came on my Twitch show 2 days before he was murdered, right?
Oh, wow.
So when I saw King Von, I looked in his eyes, and this was a guy who was smiling, who was happy, mm-hmm. who was actually starting to feast off life.
Yes.
You know, he was, you know, everybody knows the story, he comes from the rough neighborhood, and, you know, this is somebody who was getting himself out of it. You know, no matter what happened in the past, he was starting to ascend as an artist. And Dirk, same thing, ascending as an artist, selling up, being able to sell out shows, hit records. And when you look at it, right before he got the arrest, Dirk was going through steps to change his life. He changed Muslim. I really believe that he was getting out of talking the quote-unquote gangster rap in his music. I think he was going for a more positive, you know, outlook as far as what his music is. But I think one thing that we have to do is we got to give these young guys the ability and the latitude to grow as artists and to grow as men.
Exactly.
Sometimes it doesn't happen at a parallel time.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, you're growing as a guy, but, you know, your art is giving you a calling in this way.
And to add to what you're saying, this could have been the end for him. It could have been like, you know how it is, like, once you start looking at your family, your kids, you understand what's on the line. You're like, I'm not.
Yeah.
But then it'd be like one last thing, hey, bro. But don't forget, because that was a public situation.
Right. Question for you.
Okay. Wait.
Before we wrap this, question for you. Managing Rock City, how many rooms have you sat in with mentors or quote unquote people who had your back? Just like, Ray, you should move like this. How many meetings? Just give me a rough number.
All the time.
Okay. How many you think? How many of those meetings you think happened in this era with those type rappers? None.
Well, I just want to say one quick thing.
Not from someone, not from someone who they respected.
Absolutely.
Because in our community, you know, you could be a community leader, right. But you know how these little niggas think, you ain't got no money. I don't hear what you got to say. So I not by that, I can say that.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, Stella, I'm sorry.
Gotta move on.
We respect you. We respect our host.
Yeah. Yeah. Let go.
We got you.
Finally, I had to talk about this because this was an abomination, honestly. I could not believe it. Dwayne Wade is deserving of so much better than the statue that he received. What are y'all thoughts on the Tin Man?
Because I know he looks crazy. He looked like Nipsey. It said look like Nipsey Russell from the Wiz.
From the Wiz. Yes.
That was crazy.
I don't have a problem with it because it's the. Have you seen the moment that they took the statue from?
I did.
But also I'm gonna tell you to do this.
It doesn't look like the moment.
Look at the statue closely because when you see the unveiling, it looks like just blank Tin Man dude. But
76 years old. Can I say something?
He does in the face, but I will say this. My problem is this: why can't the black man just look like that nigga? Why do we have to always question? Why do I have to be angry?
But you know what? He approved.
Like,
that's going to live forever, bro. That's going to be 100 years from now. They're going to see that.
He approved.
But that was a celebratory moment. Free. I see where they was going. I don't have a problem with like.
You're saying this is my house.
This is my house. That was
I don't have a problem with that because that was posed. That was triumphant. It's just I wish they would have got the facial features a little bit better. But at the end of the day, D-Wade, he got the power to say, nah. I don't like the direction we going. He loved it, so you know if he like it, I guess we gotta love it, man. And
he said, "Who's this guy?" during his speech. So I think,
but that was different because he said that before. That's
I
different.
Think Dwayne Wade is supposed to disrespect the superstar.
Definitely
from that NBA era. I actually think he's more disrespected than Melo because Melo don't got no chips. So no, I'm not being funny. So he can't be up there. But I mean, Bron got four, he got three.
Yeah, it's because of Bron though.
That's because he.
And I don't even.
Nah. That's not just because of Bron. He won. He won before Bron came to the team.
Nah, no, I'm saying, but I think what you're saying is that Bron gets all the credit for his generation.
Absolutely.
Everybody has to finish second.
And he shouldn't because
Bron's son gets to get drafted. Your son need to go to G League and try out. Bron gonna get an 8-foot statue. Your shit gonna be 3 AI. It's like they just show. They just to me it's like everything is Bron right now.
I mean, Bron. At the end of the day. I mean, I grew up in the Jordan era. I got Jordans on my feet right now, so he's always going to be the GOAT in my eyes. But, you know, at the end of the day, LeBron could actually end up being the GOAT. So it's like, why?
Ever.
You see
I don't
what
care
he's doing
what he does.
You know I mean, what he I got Jordan as my GOAT, but I'm saying if you look at it statistically, he's going to be.
Not averages. Points. Numbers. Cumulative numbers. That's like me playing for 30 years and having more points than him.
But
what I'm saying is that's not averages.
It's still greatness to play. No, at 40 years old, it still takes greatness to play for this long.
Tell me.
Should I say it now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Piss people off. His son.
What is it going to be?
No way.
Can I tell you why?
It'll be more.
Can I tell you why? Yeah, can I tell you why? Here's why I say why. Everybody, by the way, I love what LeBron did. I want to do that for my son. But everybody talks about it, but nobody looks at it from the son's perspective.
No, I agree with that, too.
Like, literally, everybody's so happy for LeBron, but it's like you put a kid that wasn't ready in position that he wasn't ready for, and now we got to, like...
And now he has to deal with
this. And now this is the one thing that you did where you can't control the outcome.
Absolutely.
Because LeBron is the most disciplined player probably of all time. He takes care of his body, everything, but you can't control the outcome, and you've been... Every team you've been on your entire career has never been your fault that they lost.
Absolutely.
It's always the team.
Accountability.
Now one of those teammates is going to be your own child.
He has been great, though.
I'm just saying, as a father, I wish I could do it. But we all know your mom raised you tough. We all know you got to really get it out the mud. And he took that opportunity from his son, which I think is going to also make other people – his age, his counterparts, go harder at him the show. Like, nigga, you were like, you basically a DEI hire. Like, we hired you because your dad is on the team. Not being funny. Now, you don't, how you think other players feel about that shit? They gonna go at his head. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. the Coach Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go. So I think that's the only thing that he did in that. I think it's, other than that, he's the second best of Michael Jordan. He's the best businessman. He's the greatest. He's a better human than Michael Jordan ever would be. Better, like, took care of body, everything. But they came for different shit.
So let me say this, though.
Mike came to be the greatest. LeBron came to be the greatest businessman. He knew he had to win a championship, and he also knew part of the business move was he needed to put his son in the league because that was on his thing.
That's amazing.
He almost guaranteed that.
I give him props for all of that, but I'll say this. You do the guy rating on this show, right?
Oh,
and this is us talking about the guy rating. But who's more qualified to have the conversation, the four of us, or if you put Three Stacks, Jay-Z, and all of them up here, right? You'd say that they are more qualified to have that conversation.
Yes.
Okay. Why do the GOATs of the game still herald Michael Jordan as the greatest? If they're the GOATs, and I'm not talking about yesteryear, KD, his own man, D-Wade, Carmelo, they like, LeBron is great.
You gotta think about
it's hard to give your peer. It's hard to give your peer. Like, it's hard to give your peer. Like, it's hard for somebody. Like, me and Stanza started together.
Right.
And now she's the greatest. And now I gotta say, but you're the greatest. So like, what did I say about me?
The NBA 75 from back then to now says he's the GOAT.
Nigga, nobody before 1984 from Dr. J era gives Michael Jordan the
they
prize.
Do. Magic, no, they don't. Magic and Bird give him the GOAT.
We never really got to see this
another time. We'll talk about this another time. I'm going to bring somebody like Lou Williams on the show.
I don't like the statue, and that was the point. Y'all done went on a tangent. LeBron this, LeBron that. But now let's get into our topics.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, aka the Culture Referee, and Dope Coffee is changing the way we consume coffee. It's more than just a coffee brand. It combines hip hop, creativity, and community support, making coffee a part of our culture, our music, and our arts. With high quality beans, Dope Coffee delivers great taste and cares about the environment. As a black-owned business, Dope Coffee is committed to helping communities promote diversity and supporting new businesses. We start arguing already.
Yes, y'all have.
I thought we was on the topic. Let's go.
So we have, I think, a great panel of people to bring this topic
up. I'm writing mine down.
R&B savants and creators of music, journalists about music. I want to hear, what do y'all feel are the top five unskippable R&B albums of all time?
Oh,
I'm saying contemporary.
Because
I got my list.
Hold, you got shot.
He got his list.
Before this, we said we were just gonna keep it to male solo.
We're gonna do male solo.
All right. So
what male solos have the five most non-skippable albums?
All right, I'm gonna give it to y'all. And by the way, you know,
I'm glad that you're going first.
Y'all
love
cutting the women out. Yeah. Cause share my world.
We're gonna do women last.
Nah, we're gonna go.
I don't know female rap. R&B.
Sorry, Mary. To me, contemporary. You know, of our time. If you want to talk about female, Mary J. My Life. Like,
I like Share My World. That was mine. Ooh, and that's why I grew up in the back seat on that one.
I think my life is just, you know. But as far as like male solo, I got to give it to, you know, we in ATL. We got to start with Usher Confessions.
Okay, sure. We can do that. That's
blockbuster album. I was actually in the studio when they recorded the Confessions Part One. JD and Usher was in New York, and they did that song in New York, by the way. But incredible Ooh. Album. I was with Usher the day that the numbers came out, the million sold. At first, it was looking like it was gonna be 900,000. It was like, damn, I wish we could get it to the million. But you know, the fans came in at the last minute, like the last couple of days, and pushed them to that million. And then after,
so hold on, let me make sure I got your number one album, is Shaheen. Your number one is
Confessions. Wait. This is not in order.
Oh, no, it's not. Just make sure I got your five.
Confessions. Number two, we're gonna take it back to the '80s, and this is the I-95 music. I wasn't doing that on the okay. I-95. First of all, I was too young in the 80s to do that, but I never did that in my life. This is I-95 going to Virginia just with the family, going to see our family, you know, us living in New York and Queens, y'all see that, going down to Virginia, listening to this. My cousin Tommy and my cousin Craig driving Keith Sweat, Make It Last Forever. That first album.
I got my list. Look, it's written. I'm got it.
Unstoppable album. So many hits. And it was really dope, you know, tying it in to see Usher bring Keith Sweat out at State Farm Arena a couple of weeks ago. Usher giving props to the foundation. So Keith Sweat, Make It Last Forever. And that was like every drug dealer in New York City is blasting that.
Everybody.
You can see that out of just so many. I always equate that album to the luxury cars too, because
yeah.
every
that like that Dapper Dan 80s era of R&B. Man. I agree.
That's when New York was really.
That's
really
what I agree.
NYC.
Make It Last Forever.
Another album from that era too, Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel. Ooh. Unstoppable. We saw the birth of a megastar. Which, you know, to me, as far as R&B artists, you got to put Bobby in the top three, just for what he did.
So Bobby, you gonna be cruel?
Yeah. Number two, if we talking strictly music,
no skips.
Strictly music, no skips. This may be controversial.
Nah, go ahead. It's on my list too.
Because of the outside stuff that is happening.
No, it ain't.
But
no, it ain't.
If we talking music,
no, it ain't.
You gotta say. And to me, it's a toss up between Chocolate Factory, but you got to go with that TP2.
That's not the one I had.
Okay.
That TP2.
That's
your final one?
He got two more.
TP2.
So he got Confession, Make It Last Forever, TP2. What's your last two?
Don't forget Bobby
Brown. Oh, Bobby Brown. Don't Be Cruel. My bad. I'm sorry.
And the last one is, you know, is even though I could have put some Stevie on there, God forgive me, but. I gotta go with that Off the Wall, Michael Jackson.
Oh, got to.
You have to.
I'm sounding a lot. Y'all pissing me off now because y'all are going. I'm thinking we're doing the 90s. We going big. Okay,
y'all
go ahead. Go to your list, B.
Okay. So, gotta go Off the Wall.
Okay.
Definitely gotta do sure. that.
Let's go one for one because I feel like we can. Then gotcha. We can go. So, Off the Wall for you. What's on your list?
I got my five. You got your five.
You got
written?
Your five. Okay, let's go down.
You're going
down.
Off the Wall.
Run down.
We're going Purple Rain.
Okay.
Purple Rain.
We going 12 Play. Oh. By R. Kelly, for sure. We're talking about albums with no skips. So we're talking about Don't Be Cruel. And sure. I put Stevie in there, Songs in the Key of Life, because it's just
you can't diss Stevie. Stevie is amazing.
I ain't gonna lie to you. So when I did mine, when I thought about this list, because y'all gonna fuck me up. When I thought about this list, I was thinking. Like our era. I wasn't thinking Stevie. I wasn't thinking like Temptations. My girl. I wasn't thinking that. I could have, but I wasn't thinking that. So here go mine. Number one, I ain't gonna put it in order either. Confessions.
Confessions for sure.
No skip. Cause the question was no skip, right?
No skip.
I would have went Michael Jackson. I would have went Don't Be Cruel, but those last four, it's like five on the back. I don't know the last five songs. Yeah. So we said no skips.
We did.
So Confessions, Make It Last Forever. By the way, my shit is written down. Confessions, Make It Last Forever, Keith Sweat. R. Kelly, TP2.com.
Yes.
I think 12 Play.
R. Kelly, 12 Play. I got two R. Kellys.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm sorry. R. Kelly, 12 Play. And then the last one is The Dream, Love, Hate, that first album.
Oh.
People compare
Love, Hate was crazy, that first Dream album.
They deal a lot.
Love, Hate played like a mixtape. I love like how seamless it was. And The Dream is such a Jedi master because he's not the best singer, he's not the best dancer, but the music just hits so hard, man.
The Dream knows how to talk.
He knows how to talk. And it's also the sequence of the album too. People don't understand the sequence.
It was like a story.
Counts. It was a story.
Great album. So that was mine.
Fuck that nigga in a falsetto voice like that.
But see, if we included male and female, my list would have been totally different.
And you know,
anybody yeah, dream that made the dream good, but you can sing his shit.
Yeah.
Like, see, mm-hmm. the key to this is like you can sing along to shit, and I feel like I can sing as good as Dream.
When y'all do R&B,
my nigga ain't motherfucking.
I'm
know,
not mad at the male thing, but to your point, if we had done R&B, three of those albums would have been out for me. Cause like Brandy has two classic albums that you can't skip. Never Say Never in Full Moon is impossible.
Oh, never Full Moon.
Yeah, wait till that shit when we talk about the female. Don't try to. Yes, I ain't trying to one up us. I would say Brandy for the lady audience. For the lady audience. I love y'all. These niggas go.
Like, yo, heartbreak. If we were talking just true. Collectively.
That's what I said. We're going to do groups too. We'll do groups.
We're going to do groups.
Hold on. Oh, what's next, Stas? Cause I was gonna start some shit, but I'm not gonna do. We gonna stay on top.
You gonna stay?
What you was gonna say? Cause
I was gonna ask both of y'all. I was gonna ask both of y'all. This is a question. Yes or no? And if it's
yes or no, and then we gotta go.
Hit me out. If it's yes though, no, you gotta give me the song.
Okay.
Name a song from 1989 up today from a group, male or female, better than "Can You Stand the Rain" by New Edition.
You can't.
Oh man!
So,
New Edition is my favorite group. So I can't do it.
I'm making sure.
Oh, you always been your favorite line. Before you bang that gavel,
it can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley, so to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free, like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woo-hoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
We are moving on. We are moving on.
Let's go.
All right.
You bang that guy.
Don't you bang that guy. I got some things I got to say. That's the episode of Martin. I'm sorry. I came home from vacation. Do my civic duty. Let's go, bro.
That gavel all right. Serious.
You said what?
I said that gavel is serious.
I didn't want to see that movie Terrified the other night. It wake you up a little bit. All right, election day.
Oh, yeah.
It's November 5th.
Yeah, for sure.
Take y'all ass out there and vote. Please, this is critical.
My mother voted for the first time since 1996.
Awesome.
Oh, wow. Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, she never voted.
I saw that.
What urged her to vote this time? Or what encouraged her to vote?
It was my lady's birthday. And she said, all I want for my birthday is for you to just go with us and vote. And I was like, fuck it, I'll do it.
I love it.
Right. So it is critical for y'all to get out and vote. Election day, November 5th, several states have early voting so you can get in before then. What are your election predictions? What do you think is going to happen with this election?
Well, I think the main thing that we got to understand, it's not going to be paradise and bliss. No matter who gets elected, we're going to have our challenges, we're going to have our grievances, we're going to have our gripes with no matter who gets elected. But for me, I look at what Trump is trying to do with this Project 2025. Like I said, we see the type of people that he hangs out with. I mean, we already saw that before the Madison Square Garden rally, but the fact that we have this guy who's coming out and blatantly Jewish people, black people, our Latino brothers and sisters, it's disgusting. And I still can't get the memories out of my mind when, you know, Puerto Rico had the hurricane and he was coming out there.
You
know what I'm saying?
Put this in your closet.
That just showed that he didn't even have a soul. So it's like we have a choice. Do we want to be on the right side of history or do we want to elect a lunatic? And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Kamala is perfect. You know, she still has to grow. She still has, you know, certain things that I may not always agree with as well. But, you know, I think that she's somebody who's going to try to make a difference for the better. I think Trump is going to be somebody who's going to come in and he's going to have an agenda. And look at it. This guy was running wild and just doing whatever he wanted to do when he was, you know, he knew that he had to ingratiate himself to some people to get reelected. Mm-hmm. Now that if he gets elected and he just has 4 years where he don't even have to worry about being an election or the outcome, he's going to go even
Ham.
Yeah.
We're trying to get rid of the Constitution.
But the question is, who do you think going to win?
I think Kamala's going to win.
I'm going to go with my faith. I'm going to go with Kamala. I'm going to go with that. I just think that I felt like before that Trump was going to just do some stuff to kind of like really reveal the racist side that he is, and the MSG rally, hopefully people had their eyes to it. My biggest thing, like, put the rally aside, all of that, right? If you look and you see, and he said it out of his own mouth, one of the scariest things Trump said is that if he gets elected, he wants the police to not be prosecuted no matter what. So if they're busting in people's cribs and killing unarmed black women,
absolutely,
and that should scare black men the most. It'll be the Gestapo all over again.
We all know who we voting for.
Yeah,
Kamala, because this is the last show before the election comes out.
Right, for sure.
By the time we film again, it will be election be over with. Yeah. So next time we film, when we have a female elect president or Trump,
it's very close.
Harris or Trump.
It's for us, we're adults. We talked about this before.
I know you're not a betting man. You had to bet money, not your heart. You had to bet your money. You bet your money.
Easy. Kamala.
Kamala.
I think she's pulling away.
I think it's going to be close.
I'm picking Kamala for sure. I'm going to say Kamala, but the reason I say it is because last night in D.C., did you see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
She has 75,000 people to hear her speak. That's inauguration numbers? Like,
mm-hmm.
That was the first one I was like, because in my mind, I'm like, I want to win. Just be quiet. Everybody just, let's not stop playing our black music yet. Because, you know, we like to celebrate.
2 million people RSVP for the Houston.
Bruh, I'm trying to tell you. Million. So I believe next week, Kamala will be our president.
And Ray, you was there with us last week when we was at the gathering spot.
Yep.
We had Killer Mike. We had Woody McClain, who plays Kane on Power Book 2. Jadakiss was around somewhere.
Michael Vick, Beanie Siegel.
Yeah, so many people. D1 said it best, man. Like, this is going to be the easiest victory ever if we just go out and vote. If you look at the last time that Trump won, he won by a margin where he won by such a slim margin that if the black people that did not go out and vote, even if half of the black people that did not go out and vote when Trump won, the election would have been totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been totally different. So if we really, if we go out and do what we're supposed to do, you know, it's still, and people, y'all have to look on all of these organizations, like, it's still actually time to register to vote if you're not registered. Like, in some states, you can actually register up until the day of election. So you have to get informed and you register, go out and vote. And I also want to tell the people that this is one of our most urgent times as far as the presidential election goes, but you also have to look at who's running in your state, your local election, your senators and Congress, because, you know, you can make immediate change with some of those votes as well.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I also think it's perfect opportunity to express some of the misinformation that is being spread about Kamala, that she's locking black men up for marijuana crimes and things like that. And I know that's another driving force that is causing black people to shy away from her. Kamala's background is in prosecuting sex crimes against women and children. That's where she has most of it.
And there was
over 1,400 prosecutions or something like that. 45 of those were drug related or marijuana related. And it doesn't specify black, white, Mexican or whatever. So you can't say, I don't know where we got the narrative from that she was just locking black men up for marijuana, but that is completely false.
You
and
know where we got the narrative
incorrect.
From. You know where we got the narrative from.
Yeah, but,
right.
Right.
I mean,
but I just want to clear that up because
look
I know
at
that
some
people's driving force to not vote for
and
her.
Not to cut you off, if you look at some of these commercials that, it's on both sides, but Trump's, his commercials against Kamala really look like a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm like, yo, this is crazy that if he wasn't such a depraved guy, Trump could be one of the illest comedians ever, because his troll game is top tier, you know, but this guy is not dealing in the realm of reality a lot of times.
You
got to
look at it this way. On CNN the other night, they were dubbing this, this is the tell me how you really feel era, meaning that all of the egregious stuff that this man has done, everything he's done, you can fact check every debate and say, you lied 32 times, you lied 72 times. And people are like, psh, because in my heart, who, if I'm voting for Trump, I'm sold on it, I'm locked. Right. They're as locked as we are. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you say. It's like, whatever, dude. And then you gotta understand, I'm not for censorship, but this is the deadliest time because misinformation mixed with influence, Taylor Swift told me such and so, I believe it. Like, I don't need to fact check it. I believe it. So I think Trump makes a list. Like, who's influential to black people? Go get them. You know what I mean? And tell them this.
But my thing is this. I ask
Amber
you
Rose ain't that influential.
Yeah, but let's say Amber Rose. Let's say Icewell Vezo. Right. Let's say the Chef G, those guys that you said, or Kodak Black, or Wayne, as you said. My thing is, why do you think? Because we like to make it like it's disgusting, but there's a reason why these people aren't like are supporting Trump, even though everybody black is like, it's the easiest decision in the world. And my question, I guess, was that, why do you think that is? Like,
it's beneficial. Absolutely.
I mean, he did part in Kodak, he did part in Wayne.
It's a check every time.
The benefit that they get from it. I mean, I think it's a 40 acres and a mule thing. Like, hey, line up. Get all your people to blah, 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 and I promise
Trump
you
Trump is very intentional about who he was pardoning, and he knows the influence that these people have on young. He has Lil Pump and, like, young rappers like that that, you know, have influence on the younger generation. So all of it is strategic either way, either side. But people are influenced by money. That's why Chrisette Michelle's career is over, because she did the rally and she was saying, oh, I was trying to change when she sung at his inauguration. Yeah, yeah. Her career is over. That's her biggest regret today.
But she also was bipartisan, and that's why she regretted it. I'm talking about people who are actually supporting him. Like, Trump, like, I'm voting for Trump.
And I think it's all benefit.
And am I being honest with you? If we pay attention, there's something that most of them have in common. Low education.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
But my thing is this, is that I think that there is a deliberate, I think that the Democratic Party, especially blacks, HBCU blacks, high educated blacks, have a way of outcasting not ignorant blacks, if you will, like, for lack of better words. It's like, don't listen to them, they stupid, and I think it turns everybody off, because if I say don't listen to you because you're stupid, I'm just as stupid as you, because I'm talking like a stupid person. So when I'm always just looking at the psychology, I'm like, why the fuck? Like, why would you, even when you look at it, I'm only talking about from black people, like, this woman looks like someone that could walk in your house and be related to you, yeah. Right? This woman, like somebody who would say, I made your plate right there, or the food is there. Donald Trump would not want none, he won't want us living in his house, let alone.
Right.
And he might want some of us, like, you know, the Will Smiths of the world, but he doesn't want those people, yeah. But they still support him, and it's just for the life of me, I'm always trying to figure out, like, why is it?
Also, too, one thing you got to factor in, like, when you see these rappers, you know, coming to the rally and standing with Trump, for a lot of them, it's just a one-time thing. Like, I haven't heard, you know, most of these people say anything else about Trump besides that one-time thing. The most alarming thing to me is when I look at these rallies and I see, like, these 45, 50-year-old black men and women that look like they could have went to the Spelman or Morehouse or something like that. Like, I'm shocked about that. Like, the celebrities, they getting the check, they out of there. Who did Trump have the other day at the rally where he thought it was a female?
He thought it was a female. He was talking about, but it was a guy.
Yeah, you know Trump. That,
yeah, he didn't know the name.
Nicki Jam.
Nicki probably got about, as big as Nicki Jam's is, he probably got about $4 or $5 million just to do that.
I'm sure.
Mm. And, you know, hey.
It's a check.
You know what I'm saying? But to Ray's point, I don't understand, like, how these 40, 50-year-old men that, the only thing I could think of is that, you know, but before he got into the election business and before he got into politics, Trump is somebody who the black community pretty much loved. You know, like,
he was like a white
Raekwon said, yeah. Guess who's the black Trump? And, you know, cited, and, you know, he's at WrestleMania with all of the wrestlers and stuff. He's somebody who we kind of grew up watching. Some people idolized him, but, you know, we always respected him that he could really get to the bag.
Exactly.
But at a certain point, when somebody reveals themselves to you, you got to take them. You got to believe who they are.
Let's go.
All right. Great way to end that segment. So, Ari Lennox has been removing herself from social media and has expressed her desire to be released from Dreamville. Do you all think that there is a right or wrong way for artists to get out of their deal or to make it known that it's their desire to leave? Like, what is there a right way to go about that?
I mean, you know, we come from the era of Let the Locks Go. We come from a campaign where these guys literally had t-shirts and banners and, you know, protesting Let the Locks out of their contract. We come from a time where Cam, and I think he just talked about it at Steve Stout's conference the other day, where he brought like 45 people to the record label every day to Epic Records just to make the executives, you know, uncomfortable that they would, you know, they would let him out of his deal. You know, when you in one of these deals and, you know, that's your life when you in a record deal. You know what I'm saying? And it's a little bit different from back in the days, because a lot of the money that artists would make back in the days would come off the sales of their album. You know, obviously they did have, you know, touring and everything was available to them now, but that's your life when you in a deal, and when you in when your business is not right, it does weigh on your artistry too. So sometimes you just want to get out of it. I mean, short of like, shoot, we even heard the stories, and none of us was there to corroborate this, but Vanilla Ice said that Suge Knight
hung him,
you know, to get Dr. Dre out of that. You know, you can't
necessarily
do that,
right?
You know, but
so you don't think that there's a right or wrong way to go about it?
I mean, short of violence, no. I don't think you should do anything violent, because that's going to put you in jail and you ain't going to be able to make music for nobody. But, I mean, if you want to get on social media and get vocal about it, you know, etiquette or you know, some type of etiquette means that you would go to whoever's in charge of the label and try to get out. But sometimes the people don't hear you. You signing these ironclad contracts and you can't get out. You got to voice your displeasure.
What my man say on Five Heartbeats?
Oh, my office hours are from 9 to 5.
I feel that, but
point is this, is I'm always conflicted when artists speak on their contracts and want to get out their deal. Because for you to speak like that, you have a lack of knowledge of what's actually happening around you, right? So it's almost like, let's remove you from it. Let's say me and you decided to start a business together, Ari, and we put a lot of money in it, and I've been the one putting the money in it, you've been the face of the business, and now you're like, I don't wanna do it no more. Like, nigga, what about the money I put into the business? Absolutely. You act like that goes away. Yeah. So when they just wanna take the little bit that they got that worked for them and then go on, it's always interesting to me, because it usually means that they don't have the right, either they're not listening to management or they have the right management. Because the right management would explain to you, like, it's a bad look. And it's always bad when artists try to get out of deal with other artists. Because now you give the fans, they're split now. Like, saying I want to get off RCA Records, nobody know who Peter Edge is, right? Like, it's like, fuck Peter Edge. Okay, fuck him. We hate him. You know, we have nothing in it. But saying I want to get out my deal with J. Cole, it's like, hold on. J. Cole's a good guy. He backed out of the thing. What would he do wrong? But they don't know. It's lawyers, it's business, and it's bedtime manner. Like, I've tried to get out of deals being loud. Like, hey, let us out of deal. He's fucking us. And they keep us longer. And then you walk to the man like a man and say, hey, look, I'm not happy. I want to be out of this. And you get out easy. So
that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Because you got to understand, we never know the parameters by which they want to get out of the deal. Mm-hmm. So take deals like you're talking about with the Locks. The business at that time was designed to demean the artist. It was like, we are poaching your talent. We are making 85%. You are taking 15 cents on the dollar.
Exploitation.
Take it, and you're going to pay us back what we gave you, right? So that's not good. This era, you have way more control. And if you have a great attorney, it's like, at the end of the day, you know what you signed. So I'm not always giving the label the bum rap on that.
You gotta have a bag, too. Because like Ray was saying, like, when you're trying to get out the deal, you could probably get out the deal, but you got to pay such and such and such. You know, like, some labels, they probably don't even want the headache. You know what I'm saying? Because people are not even selling albums at the big pace that they did before. So if somebody's unhappy, they'd be like, all right, well, I invested $1.2 million in you up to this point. You have not recouped any of that. Give me 1.5.
Yeah, and that's a conversation nobody wants to have.
From like a legal aspect.
You're a lawyer. What would you say, lawyer?
I think it's better for you to get dropped. You know, I mean, because honestly, getting dropped is a tax write-off for the label. So if you can work it to where you're being facetious and somebody is able to get you, you know, you get dropped from the label, yeah, they still own the music, but it's like a fresh start. It's a, you know, a do-over.
When you're asking to get dropped, that tells
us. No, what I'm saying, it's triggering them to keep you. So you really should just kind of just lay low.
If
you don't care, just like lay low, do some, you know, some stuff that they not liking.
Stay in the limelight.
Exactly.
Like get a relationship, do something, but like stay.
Get dropped. Life is crazy and bad things happen. And I'm sure a lot of our viewers can relate to having some, you know, crazy moments happen right now. Ray, what's something that you do to keep going?
What I like to do to keep going is I drink my lucky energy drink to give me some energy because I know I have the winner in me. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. Like today I came in really tired and I taste that lucky energy. It hits me. It takes you. It makes me want to run and scream and yell. And by the way, it's all natural. That's what makes it dope. So I do that when I'm trying to pick myself up.
Absolutely. And it's crazy that you mentioned Lucky Energy because the founder himself has walked through so many different things. He was in a plane crash where 136 people died and he survived. He's definitely lucky. And his father passed away in that plane crash as well. He's also raising a daughter that has special needs. And so part of the branding of the company is that they want to show that life continues to move forward. And you can still move on despite all of the bad things that have happened to you. Lucky Energy has been a part of different videos, Friday's Baddest in the Room, Sukiana's Walk Out, and they've given away about $20,000 in flight credits. Yeah, we need flights.
Yes. Sponsor the show.
Fly us out.
We'll film an episode in first class, me and Stanswood. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely. So I think it's just, you know, great to highlight what the founder has done and continues to do for the people, and not even the people that support his brand, but those who don't as well. So if you want to check out Lucky Energy, be sure to check them out on Amazon. We're going to provide the link in the comment section below, and you're going to get $12 off. So, yeah, shout out to Lucky Energy. Thank you for giving us the freedom
Thanks
to fly.
Thanks for making us feel lucky. I'm sorry.
I mean, I think that's the
now I'm watching you now.
But it's like, you know, you still got to stay high. So how do you, you know, for some artists that music is like their biggest outlet of staying high, like constantly putting out music, you know, how do you, you know, you can't put out just your throwaways because that's going to devalue your brand.
But you can't put out music anyway. But what you can do is you can, like you just said, Free the Lots campaign. We still want the lots to be free. Mm-hmm. To this day, 20 years later, we still like, they better be free. Like, so it almost becomes, it's like SZA. Part of SZA's marketing plan for her career is, my label won't put my music out. This can be a part of her career. My label will slow me down, so I'm gonna drop this album. I hate this album. Even if it's that, like, create conversation about the music, but don't get caught on the legal side of it. Mm-hmm.
No,
because everybody could just be like, okay, we'll talk to you when we're ready.
Right.
And it's just bad PR. So that's what I'm saying.
You gotta get more bees with honey. Yeah. Like, you know, like, so to put it out there for everybody to see, now everybody is looking at the label, like, what they doing over there. Like you said, it's a separation. You got the wrong people talking about it. So now it's bringing bad publicity to the label because, you know, she's been going through this for a while. She had the issues with Rod Wave's concert and feeling uncomfortable. It's been a lot going on for her this year. Mm-hmm. So to ultimately come down to this, now I want to be released. Like I said, I think it's just triggering them to hold you in it.
Exactly. And it could just be today talk, too. Some people, they ask for their release today, and tomorrow it could be smoothed over and whatnot. But to me, somebody who they kind of mocked and ridiculed back in the day, he kind of had the best blueprint for this, and that's Kanye West. Like, when he was first signed to Rockefeller Def Jam and the label wasn't really moving how he wanted to move, he spent his own money to do whatever he had to do to make sure that he was hot. Like artists, they, you know, you got to invest in yourself. And even when Kanye was popping and he would get these budgets for, you know, they allocated a certain amount of money for his entire run for the album, Kanye would had no problem spending $1.5 million to do 3 different videos for the same song just because he had a vision for it.
And that's another thing I don't understand. When you are a successful artist, like Ari, and I'm not counting nobody's money, why not just spend your own money and do it yourself?
That's what I'm saying.
I don't get it.
That's a much deeper conversation. But I'll say this, though. You shout out to people like Wendy Day who will tell you no deal is blanket. So it's like David Banner's deal was you have X amount of time when I complete my album to put it out. And if you don't, I can self-release. And so, you know, again, labels, when you're not popping and not hot, they're like, yeah, whatever. Well, yeah, cool. We're going to put it out anyway. So whatever. But you catch them in that sweet spot where it's like, all right, you didn't do it. I'm about to do it. You go blow up. And then the label's like, oh, shit, let me get my shit together. Because we all know that labels don't move until you force them to move anyway. So that becomes a tricky two-way street.
And sometimes the last thing I say on it is that you got to beware because the grass is not always greener on the other side. Because when you go from one label to the next, you got to deal with a whole new staff that may not be as
invested. Same shit you got.
That's what I'm saying. And they might not be even invested in you like that. You may have, you know, you might not love the label that you're on, but you got that one champion that's in the marketing department. You got that one champion that's in the radio department. Or, you know, the staff might be a little bit bigger where they could devote your time. You go to another label, sometimes the staff don't even got the time for you like that, and they're not as invested into you. They might not even like your music.
Well, I think that's a perfect way to end it. Ray, I'm going to throw it to you for the God rating.
Okay, so last thing real quick. So, Shaheem, so I have this thing I do called the God rating.
Before you do that. Because I feel like I got to do this.
Okay? Record scratch. Brother. Well, Two minutes for redemption. Start the clock.
Start the clock.
Let's go.
The
clock.
Listen, I want to. This is hard for me because I'm a strong-willed dude. It's hard for me to apologize. So I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Now, hold on. Ray, let me do this.
Okay.
Listen, after reading all the comments, right, everybody's like, you don't know hip-hop, you don't know this. I want to apologize. Want to apologize for what I said about Nas. I'm sorry I didn't say it harder. He was never that dude. Period. Sorry. You go, now
and
you can bang that gavel.
That's
business.
He said what he said.
But my question, and this is going to spark a whole another debate. I actually didn't know this brother was going to be on the show today. I just happened to wear my Queen shirt. But why would you say that?
Like, I'm gonna tell you why I said it. No. Let me sum it up. Because going through the comments, like everything everybody said, everybody's like, you don't know hip hop. Nas was one of the greatest. Never said he wasn't one of the greatest. I think he's one of the greatest rappers of all time. One of. But the question was he ever the guy by himself? So if I say who's the greatest entertainer of all time, Michael Jackson is pretty much the answer for that, right?
Right.
Nobody in the South, and I'm gonna go out and speak for everybody in the South, woke up and they say, hey, who's the greatest rapper right now? Oh shit, Nas, let me go. No, it's never happened.
I disagree with that.
What year do you think somebody from the South would have said that?
My brother, I talked to a lot of the guys from the South that know and are influenced and love Nas's music. I've talked to Andre about Nas. I've talked to Big Boy. They've all loved and revered this guy. And don't even think about just, see, you just thinking about one part of the South. You got
to
look at the world.
Nah,
like
I
Nas,
don't
want
to get too Nas, far away
Nas,
from the question,
Nas,
though.
Nas was the guy before his album even came out, bro. Before Illmatic
hit.
I want to say this.
I'm gonna explain this. I think I'm one of the few qualified people that can explain.
Yeah, because you're from both sides.
Because I was born on both sides. So there's a difference, Shaheem, in Southern people and country people, right? No, I'm not being funny. I'm being honest. There's a difference between Southern and country, right? No disrespect to him. Boosie is country.
Okay.
T.I. is Southern. You feel what I'm trying to say? Hey, baby, that's country. Jeezy is Southern, right? So if you're from the country, you ain't listening
to Nas. You just not. If you from the, if you're Southern, that means usually because usually like we in Atlanta, Georgia. How many New Yorkers have moved to Atlanta, Georgia? That means we have an influx of people. My family, we're an influx of us that have come here that have influence or know about what it is. But if you live in Birmingham, Alabama, your whole life, and Nas came talking about snuffing Jesus and everything, that's the Bible Belt. They not say like that boy is against us. So when we get mad at certain stuff, like you gotta factor in there's different people in the South. Brian is from, he's from, watch this. When I say, who say Roll Tide? What y'all supposed to say? What you supposed to say? What's it say?
Hey,
Alabama, Roll Tide.
Right.
They say Roll Tide to each other when they speak to
you.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
You know, I understand that. You're like, what the fuck happened to them? That makes sense. So, country standpoint, and I just want my New York brothers and sisters to let the country have a voice.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If
so,
I say,
so you're saying he never was the guy
in the
country or in hip hop in general?
No, his part of the hip hop country.
So let me say this. Magic Johnson, we can all agree, one of the greatest basketball players to ever play.
Yes.
One of the most influential.
Yes.
He ain't the GOAT. Nobody ever woke up and was like, Magic, you're the GOAT. I'm gonna tell you why. Because at that time, a lot of people would be like, I don't know, Bird might be better. I'm not sure, Kareem might be better.
Yeah.
I'm saying, when Jordan was the
Magic
guy,
was the GOAT at a certain point, though.
I don't think he was the
GOAT. Before Jordan started winning all the championships,
so Kareem,
Magic was
Kareem
the GOAT.
Wasn't the guy. Bird wasn't the guy. Could you make an argument that
so you got to end it, Brian? We stay there. We got to go.
Talking about stuff. Right.
Let me get to the last thing. The God's rating, because I want to hear Shaheen. So,
Shaheen,
we have the God rating on this show. We give guests like yourself.
I love it.
We tell you what we factor in. So
tell me what the criteria.
Here's the criteria. The criteria is lyrics,
right?
Flow.
Right.
Which is different than lyrics. Flow is the melodic play that you have with words. Hits, catalog, longevity, consistency, and overall influence. So when I do my God rating, my highest rating is Jay-Z gets a 99.
For sure.
Next to me will be Ye, we get a 98. But my question to you is, who, based on lyrics, flow, hits, catalog, longevity, consistency, and overall influence, do Shaheem read the legendary... journalist, hip hop journalist, who do you give a 99 to?
99. Ooh.
Who you saving that for?
It's a couple of people. I gotta give Wayne a 99 for sure.
Okay.
You know, Wayne, I mean, I'm about to go to his festival when I leave. Like this dude has literally influenced an entire generation of MCs. Endless flows, myriad of flows.
Mm-hmm.
Catalog, endless hits,
you're right.
Catalog, longevity. Listen, man, Wayne started when he was like
14
years old. We just celebrated 30 years of Cash Money, so you got to give it to Wayne.
So Wayne gets a 99. Who else gets a 99?
Wayne definitely gets a 99. I got to go with, to be honest with you, I got to go with Eminem.
Ooh.
Eminem is a scientist when he comes to the music. Flows, lyrics. Hits, longevity. What else was the criteria?
Consistency.
Influence. Influence. I mean, Eminem, I worked at MTV for 10 years, man.
You know it.
Wasn't nobody bigger than Eminem. I'm going to keep it real with you.
So Eminem and Wayne got 99. So you have any more people you give 99 to?
I mean, my brother Busta Rhymes. I know some people might say that I'm biased, but Busta...
Hold on, you're giving Busta 99?
Listen, man, Busta...
Let's talk about it. Look at Brian.
Listen, bro. I just came off the tour with Busta and Missy, and I seen the brother tear it down, and with not even his whole catalog tearing down arenas every night. Bus has been in the game since the late 80s.
Hold on. I want to stay there real quick, because Brian, you don't agree with Busta's 99?
No, I think Busta's reinvented himself a couple of times.
What God rating would you give Busta?
94.
So...
I mean,
lyrics.
Go down the
Busta's
top notch. Lyrics.
Okay, flow.
Top.
Gotta give him that. Hits.
Got hits.
Catalog.
Got catalog too.
Okay. Longevity. Easy.
He
got discovered on Arsenio Hall.
You about
show.
To hit the one where I'm taking points away.
Consistency.
I'm taking it away right there because Busta had gaps. He did. Busta had gaps. Every time he came back, it was impactful.
But can you factor in that the gaps were later in his career where you expect to have gaps? Because right now, Jay-Z's in a gap. And I would give him a 99 rating.
Self-imposed gaps for Jay-Z.
But we don't know if Busta's in a self-imposed gap.
Self-imposed gaps for Busta. He got music. I would say even Because we put out ELE 2, and it was 11 years between albums when Bus put out ELE 2. But he still kept himself hot with guest appearances everywhere. But you also, when you talk about influence, Bus pioneered the guest feature. He also pioneered these weird but enthralling and all-encompassing videos. Like, you know, when you look at the just the art of music video, who's more influential than Buster with the music
video? By the way, I would have gave Buster 92, 93, but I gave him a 95 because of what you said. You're right. Because mm-hmm. the only thing to me I think Buster lacks was the influence part. Because he didn't, a lot of rappers couldn't be like him. But right. there is the music video, feature.
Yeah, so, but I will agree that a lot of stuff that Bus does, no other rapper can do. But when you talk to, and which I have, like I'm not speculating, I'm not going on what I read or saw in an article. I've talked to Future, I've talked to Young Thug. We actually are working on something for Bus where you'll see these people come out and talk. But I've talked to Dr. Dre, I've talked to Lil Wayne,
yeah.
I've talked to Kanye West, and they all say Bus was a heavy influence. Oh, Migos too. When they did the fish eye.
I can be real with you, you're making an amazing argument because I ain't gonna lie, I'm like, hold up.
Yeah.
Because Busta to me was like a 92, 93, but like the only thing I would also say lack is catalog. Now, here's why I say that real quick. The reason why I say that is because I don't know too many people, like how many people in here know Busta album cuts? The deep cuts.
Yeah,
he was not known for that. He was known for giving us that hit. Flash, that hit. So that's kind of why I would deduct a couple points on there.
One thing I say about that too, and you know, again, I don't want to seem biased because, you know, that's my brother. When you go to these shows, like I just watched them for the past 3 years, bro. Wu-Tang, Nas, Busta Rhymes, 50 Cent, Busta Rhymes. By the way, that 50 Cent tour, top five tour of all time.
Busta Rhymes is the opening act.
We just did Missy, Timbaland, Sierra. Yeah. When you talk about catalog, this guy came for an hour of just no skips. Hours straight, just bangers shaking up the stadium.
Still, will you give me your number?
94.
You still said 94?
Yes.
So I'm gonna ask you a question, Shaheen. So Busta's 99, what do you rank Hov?
I'm gonna give Hov 99.
So you're gonna give Busta, I think Busta and Hov is the same?
Yeah, but it's also different too. When you look at Madden, you could have
you be a 99 for different reasons. Could quarterback be a 99?
Exactly. You give Derrick Henry, he's a running back.
He's a 99.
If you look at what he's doing this year, he's going to get 99, 98. But Justin Jefferson is going to get the same thing.
So if you had to say, but like, I think Wayne is like known for being like, if we had to say Wayne's place in hip hop, Wayne is like, he's like Kobe Bryant. He Jay-Z is like LeBron. No, I'm sorry. Jay-Z is Jordan. I'm sorry.
Jay-Z is Jordan.
Drake is LeBron. Okay. Right? Who is... If Busta is somebody, who is Busta?
In basketball terms?
Is he Shaq? Because no. Shaq had the flair too. You see what I'm trying to say?
No,
is he
like,
Tim Duncan?
Yeah,
J. Cole is Tim Duncan.
Karl Malone.
J. Cole is Tim Duncan.
Not Karl Malone, because Karl Malone never, no, never won the chip.
He ain't winning the chips. He never won the chips.
You got to understand, too, Bus, his
has
influence.
Bus had,
his,
you know, had one year where he ran hip-hop.
Hakeem Olajuwon, but you can put him there, because his style was different.
You got to look at what he did for Outside, too. Like, Bus was one of the first ones to get these major endorsements for the commercials.
Would you say Hakeem Olajuwon? Is that two championships? Hakeem?
I think closer to Shaq.
Only reason I won't give him Shaq is because at one point in time, Shaq, for like 8 or 9 years, was the most dominant nigga in the game. That's why I wouldn't give it to him. Like, I like Olajuwon because he had, he's a great, but he just doesn't get Shaq.
DMX is like Shaq.
Bus is always there, man. Did you just see what he just did at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And by the way, he's about to get his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he'll probably be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame like in the next couple of years. But you know, live, if you look at the art of being an MC when it comes to live performance, and again, we could go on another artist because people are gonna see I'm biased towards Bus, but if you look at what this man has done, every live show since he started.
Yep. True.
He is probably the greatest live performer that we've
in
seen.
Hip hop. He's definitely considered.
Do you have any more?
I was about to say, I got a couple more. I'm gonna ask you. God rating. Give me the numbers. Actually, I'm gonna ask you too. Nas. What would you rate Nas?
96.
What would you rate Nas?
The only one deficiency, and I'm not even gonna say it's a deficiency, but the one thing that Nas doesn't have, as far as Bus, Jay-Z, Eminem, Snoop, is just a myriad of flows. But I think that his lyrics.
I just added to God rating because of you now. One of the new requirements that we're gonna measure is classic albums.
Well, I mean, you got that, but let me ask you this.
You got the classic.
And I know what Northerners are gonna say. Could Nas do a Verzuz with 20 hits, mainstream hits?
Yes.
You think he could do 20 mainstream hits?
Mainstream hip hop.
That everybody's gonna know.
Mainstream hip hop, yes.
Even hip hop.
Absolutely.
20 hits?
I can name 20 records that Nas got right now that you know.
He can.
You know, I know I can.
Okay.
Right? You know that song, right? Uh-huh. Hate Me Now.
Okay.
What's the record he did with Lauren?
If I rule the world, crazy.
What are you talking about?
20 hits.
If I rule the world, I'm saying like, y'all can help me real quick.
Subject. Ray, you got more.
I'm sorry. I'm like
numbers.
You got more people that we could talk about now. We could dedicate a whole episode to Nas.
The world is yours. If I rule, I'm sorry. Listen, yes, 20. He got 20.
Nas is
he ain't got 21
to me,
though.
To me, Nas is in that. He's in that upper realm. He's 98, 97. The only thing that brings him down, like just a notch, is just he doesn't have as many flows. But I think Nas is lyricism hits. He got everything. Longevity. Nas is doing it with the business world. So he's 98, 99 to me.
Nas is better than DMX.
Fuck no.
Okay.
What are you talking about, though?
DMX is probably the greatest force hip hop has ever seen.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
I'll say DMX and then Big, in that order.
Oh, Big is my favorite. Big is my favorite of all time.
99.
Big is 110. Big is 110.
We're going to end it with that. Big is a 110.
So Biggie, you give 100 to.
Easy.
Yeah, I give 2.
Easy.
You understand? I'm good. I just want to ask that. I love it.
Well, Shaheem, we thank you so much for coming on the show, debating.
Let's
with
get a five guest, Shaheem. He brought journalistic intelligence. I mean, not intelligence. What's the word?
Integrity.
See, guys, I don't even know the fucking word. He brought journalistic integrity to this show.
I appreciate y'all, man.
Shout out to the viewers and the listeners. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. Be sure you ring that bell, like, share, subscribe, comment.
And that's me commenting, by the way. Yeah. I'll be arguing back. You're going to talk all that shit to me.
We love to hear your two cents. Always let us know. If there's someone you want to see on the show, let us know in the comments. And as always, this is That's the Beta. We thank you for watching. We'll see you next time.
Good shit.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.